In the beginning, God made the first man, Adam, in his own image. Adam was placed in a sanctuary called Eden. He was tasked by God with a tremendous work, to exercise dominion over all creation, to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. The manner in which he was to do this was by being a priest, king, and prophet. As a priest, his first and constant employment was to tend to the worship of Almighty God. Since Eden was a sanctuary, it was to function like a temple, with Adam as high priest. And as he and Eve would beget children and multiply, the solemn duty of Adam was to lead his descendants in adoration of their Creator, to assist them in offering up the sacrifice of praise. As a king, Adam was to exercise authority in the world. Like any wise king, he was charged by God to expand the boundary of his dwelling. He was to impose order, to name the animals, to explore the earth, to grow crops, to scale the highest mountains, to fare the seas, the vast oceans. He was to take the world, that which God had made good, and mature it to his greater glory. As a prophet, Adam was to develop wisdom, to be near to the brilliance of the mind of God. Adam was not to remain in a childlike state. Rather, he was to grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He was supposed to resist any temptation that might assail him due to the subtlety of garden snakes. He was not merely to know the will of his God, but he was to comprehend it and to communicate it to his children. The office of a prophet, more than that of a priest or a king, requires tremendous spiritual development. It demands proximity to God himself, since a prophet is the very mouthpiece of God. These three offices, prophet, king, priest, represent a movement toward the divine essence that Adam, if he had remained in the grace of God, would have heartily enjoyed. Of course, as we all know, he utterly failed in these and other ways. Adam rebelled against God via high-handed sin and plunged the whole human race into misery. Yet in spite of this failure, God was pleased to show forth his kindness, for he promised another Adam, a better Adam, a second Adam, who would infallibly do what the first could not. God promised the seed of the woman. In order to accomplish the birth of the promised seed, the Lord set apart the people of Israel. They, similar to Adam in the beginning, were called to be a kingdom of priests. God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt and brought them into the desert, quite opposite to the serene garden dwelling of Adam. There in that desert, God set them apart to be priests unto him, to worship him. And so Moses, the man of God, went up upon the mountain and received the divine charge concerning the law and the Levitical priesthood. One might be tempted to think that the whole of the people of Israel were to fulfill the promise concerning the seed. That is to say that they were corporately, as a whole, the promised seed. Yet reading the sacred scriptures, we see how woefully inadequate the people of Israel were for this task. For we read that as soon as Moses came down from the mountain, he found the people worshiping a golden calf. Like Adam, they failed as priests. Later, when the people were brought by God into the promised land, they became a mighty kingdom, a mighty nation. By the grace of divine blessing, they vanquished their foes round about on all sides. They tilled the fertile soil, greatly multiplied in number, established cities, and even built a magnificent temple. They accomplished dominion. For a moment, it seemed like they were fulfilling the command God first gave to Adam. Yet this too would be a mirage, for their first king Saul was a notoriously wicked and vicious man. And after him, even worse men would rule, who would each lead the people astray via idolatry, just like what happened at Mount Sinai. Even Israel's greatest king, Blessed David, still failed by committing adultery and murder. He, like us, was faulty. Again, just like Adam before him, the nation of Israel was ineffective, at accomplishing godly dominion. Because the people were ever increasing in their wickedness, God graciously sent them many great prophets and wise men, those who would call the people to repentance. It was the task of the prophets to call the Israelitic race to mature into a prophetic ideal, to bear witness to the goodness of God to the Gentiles. Unfortunately, time and time again, these prophets were rejected, persecuted, and even martyred by their own kinsmen. The whole of the people failed to realize their evangelistic mission to the world. Again, as we have already seen, they followed in the footsteps of Adam and in the likeness of his rebellion and disobedience. In spite of all of this, the holy prophets, these great men of God, wrote concerning one who would be the instantiation of the eschatological mission of the people of God. He would be like the Israelites, for he would descend from them, but he would also be unlike them in that he would perfectly execute the office of priest and king and prophet. He would be what they were not, what they could not be. At the beginning of this progression, in the times of the establishment of the priesthood, Moses said this, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." This priestly and kingly prophet would bring healing, peace, and salvation to all the families of the earth, as God promised Abraham in Genesis 12. The gospel reading today, which we just heard, is a familiar story to us, the feeding of the 5,000, an account filled with fascinating details. What is of great relevance to us is the very last line of the reading, which says in the New King James Version, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Reading it, we can sense the tangibility of the crowd's excitement. They were coming to the realization that our Lord Jesus, the one who stood before them, was the promised Messiah. They had witnessed a miraculous sign that demonstrated it. But we ask ourselves, why 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish? And why is that mentioned in the gospel account in the first place? The fathers of the church offer a variety of allegorical and spiritual readings of this aspect of the narrative. In line with patristic interpretation, we can say that these 5 loaves of bread represent the priestly dispensation in the life of the people of God. After all, when they were in the desert, training for the establishment of the priesthood, the Lord met their daily needs via bread from heaven, as Psalm 78:24 tells us. Further, God commanded that bread always be put before him in the tabernacle. This was called the bread of the presence, or the showbread. Thus, when we read of Christ multiplying these loaves, we should naturally, if we're thinking biblically, be thinking about the priesthood, the tabernacle, the temple, the sacrificial system. It should evoke those memories in our minds. As for the fish, they represent the nations of the world, the Gentiles, and the fathers are almost unanimous in their reading of this. In the Psalms, the raging of the seas is associated with the tumult of the Gentile nations in Psalm 65:7. Additionally, in Matthew 4, when our Lord calls Simon Peter and Andrew, who incidentally are both mentioned in the reading we just heard in John 6, he encounters them working as fishermen, and he tells them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That is not a mistake in the gospel account. As the tradition of the church tells us, these two, Simon Peter and Andrew, would go on later to win many untold multitudes of Gentiles to the faith by their witness. Gracious dominion over the Gentiles was always a kingly affair, one that only the true King of Israel could accomplish, and in this case, Christ through his disciples, through his representatives. Thus, when we read of these fish, if we're thinking in terms of biblical imagery, we should also be thinking about the Gentiles and the nations of the world. This brings us to the sign itself, to the multiplication of the 5 loaves and of the 2 fish. Within the Old Testament, the performance of miracles, of signs and wonders is actually quite rare. In fact, there are only 2 major eras in which miracles were performed with regularity. The first is during the life of Moses, who is the great lawgiver and prophet. And the second is during the life of the prophet Elijah. Outside of these 2 times, Wonder workers, those who could perform miracles consistently over and over again, were quite rare. In fact, it's really fascinating to consider that these two men are the ones who appear with Christ at his transfiguration. That is certainly not a coincidence. So when Christ multiplied these creatures of bread and fish for the consumption of the multitude, they understood that what was indicated in such an act was that Christ is really greater than all of the prophets that came before him, that he is the prophet, the one who was promised to arrive in the similitude of Moses and Elijah and all the prophets of earlier days. This was the vindication of the ministry of the Lord. By this and all his other signs, he was shown to be the Christ. As he says elsewhere to the Jewish people, he says, "If you do not believe me for the things I say, at least believe by reason of the miracles which I perform." In reading this account, the gospel account for this morning, we discover that the Lord Jesus is a great high priest, indicated by the multiplication of the loaves, that he is the reigning king, indicated by the multiplication of the fish, and that he is the true prophet, indicated by the whole act taken together. Today, 2,000 years after the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, we find ourselves as Christians looking for the present instantiation of the ministry of our Lord. And thanks be to God, we do not have to look too far for a token of his presence, for we have the church. Readily available to us are the sacraments of the church, the means whereby we receive eternal life. In the body of Christ do we find the continuation of his wonder-working ministry. Think with me, brethren, concerning the miracle of the mystery of Christian baptism. In no other act is the reality of salvation by grace so clearly put forth. For what does any man bring with him to the waters of baptism? What merit do we offer to the Lord there? Certainly none. Tell me, when you were baptized, think back to that time, if you can remember it, what did you present to the Lord other than yourself, other than your sinful self? Additionally, what is a clearer picture than when a child is baptized, an infant who cannot even speak, cannot even talk, and is baptized graciously by God? Before he has any ability in himself, the kindness of God meets him. Before he has committed actual transgressions, the Lord Jesus washes away the stain of original sin, which stain he received from Adam. Without any merit of our own, God drowns our sins in the waters of baptism, which are the waters of his mercy. Through the sacrament, we obtain an everlasting inheritance, are seated with Christ in heaven, engrafted into the body of Christ, and made fit members of the church. This is all truly miraculous. And only the work of Christ Jesus in the sacrament could procure such an end. And what are we to say concerning the sacrament of the altar? Again, how clearly is the power of God shown forth in the Holy Eucharist? Like baptism, it is both miraculous and mysterious to our feeble minds. It is too lofty for us to comprehend the gracious condensation of our Lord Jesus, who is present for us in the Holy Sacrament. Just like with baptism, we bring nothing with us to the table of the Lord. We bring no merit, no goodness in us. And yet God is pleased to meet us in our weakness and to give us himself. Not just benefits and blessings, but himself. I tell you a mystery. When the priest is at the altar and says the words of institution over the bread and wine, they become, through the incomprehensible operation of the Holy Ghost, the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is the true body and blood of Jesus, offered once for all by him upon the cross for our redemption and made present, represented for us today, that we may partake of the benefits of the same. And this is a miracle performed around the world on many altars in the Catholic Church. Truly, God has not left us alone, but through Holy Communion, he makes his presence known to us. As we heard in the reading for the epistle, we live in those days after the appearance of the one who is the Lord, our righteousness. Jesus tells his disciples and us by extension that in older times many righteous men longed to see what they had seen and to hear what they had heard and were not able. And so now under the greater light of the gospel, it is crucial that we consider the ways in which we may please him who has rescued us from death. Especially as we draw nearer to the season of Advent. Drawing inspiration from the collect for today in which we prayed, "Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may by thee be plenteously rewarded." We should seriously endeavor to give ourselves to the performance of good works. Doing so brings us both temporal joy and eternal reward. Knowing the benefits that are ours in Christ, which have been won for us by him, and not by any goodness within ourselves, may we give ourselves to obey him. May we join in with the angels and with the saints in heaven who say, "Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. Jacksonville, Oregon, and for their rector, Father Christopher Smith. We pray especially this day for Marianne, for Joe, Fred, and Paul, for Edwin, for Rusty, Terrence, Araceli, and Christopher, for Jackie, Jaswant, Sandra, and Martha, for Christian, Judy, Melissa, and Avalyn, for Morgan, Debbie, Jack, Judy, Braylon, and Donald, For Elizabeth, Emma, Carolyn, and Lyndon. For Father Godomsky, for Bishop Grundorf, and for all those that we name in the quietness of our hearts. The Holy Eucharist is also offered with special intention this day for all of our clergy and congregations in Haiti, India, Ecuador, Philippines, and Indonesia. We offer continual prayers for all pregnant mothers and for the safety of all unborn children, especially those in our own parish. We continue to pray for all those who suffer in the very conflicts of our world, giving thanks for some progress in the Middle East and hope for progress in Ukraine and in Russia. We continue to pray for an end to those conflicts and to that suffering. We pray for our own nation, for our community, and for our parish, for peace, safety, righteousness, and truth. We offer prayers this day for the peaceful repose of Kate, of John, Gordon, Anne, of Joan, of Bernard, of Jack, of Mary, and of all the faithful departed. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. May the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Pray, brethren, that this my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty.
May the Lord receive this sacrifice at thy hands, to the praise and glory of his name, to our benefit and that of all his holy church.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also so to direct and dispose the hearts of all Christian rulers, that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye who do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling. Almighty God,
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who hast great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Savior Christ saith unto all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travel and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John said. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
All glory be to thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made thereby his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we thy humble servants do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty, with these thy holy gifts which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee. humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with thy spirit.
We do not
presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
The Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world,
grant us thy peace.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sins of the world.
Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you.
this in remembrance of Christ's blood shed for you. Be thankful. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Read this in remembrance of Christ's blood shed for you, Jesus Christ, and be thankful. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance of Christ's blood shed for thee.
Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee. Preserve thy body and soul into everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance of Christ's blood shed for thee. Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank Thee for that Thou hast vouchsafed to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of Thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and thus assure us thereby of Thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of Thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs to the hope of Thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of His most precious death and passion. And we humbly beseech Thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with Thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as Thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with Thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise Thee. We bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayers. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Depart in peace.
Thanks be to God.
The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Loving Father, who willest us to give thanks for all things, to dread nothing but the loss of Thee, and to cast all our care on Thee who cares for us. Preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, and grant that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light of that love which is immortal, and which Thou hast manifested unto us, in Thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You have no idea how much I missed everybody.
Yeah, we do. We were young and we went away to college, and we know.
Like, I have been so homesick. It is so glad to be back.
And look at the weather we arranged for you today, right?
I gotta give you another hug. I'm so glad to see you.
We got the best weather possible for November.
I told my parents, I said, what is happening down here in South Carolina? This is not Wisconsin. Pringle, I got it in the fridge and brought it with me. So you and I afterward will grab a cup of coffee. I'll tell you, the other one is who's raspberry, right? I've never even seen one in real life.
It's a Wisconsin thing. It's steak.
Yeah, it's the steak pastry on the brochure.
Yeah.
It's a Danish.
So,
I enjoy it.
Well, they said we had a little catalog. Yeah.
I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah. changed a lot. Like, the lessons are back. And now that I'm in seminary, I can tell you, this is seminary life. It's really, like, impressive. We'll talk again. It's good to see you again. Let me know.
John said he did.
Oh, okay.
So I'm taking his word for it.
Because people have, it is true, people have come to me and said,
hey, the mics aren't working.
Right, because Martha is in the hospital. She was trying to watch it. Yes.
This isn't going to encumber anything that you're doing here, is it? This little mic thing?
No, not at all. This is my notes there, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be sure not to bumper avoid it.
Well, I just didn't want it to flip the pages, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Messed up.
That's
didn't
great.
Want you to break your thought, you know?
Yeah, true, right, very true. Thank you so very much, truly. Yes, indeed. so encouraging.
Great to see you out.